Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in the studio with an opportunity to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Manuel in California. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm getting pretty confused due to having a little discussion with a Jehovah's Witness. They got me confused over the Trinity, and I've always believed in the Trinity, but they have some good points. The main point they have is, how is Jesus God when it says that the end of the world's coming, that not even the Son knows that they will come? And I don't know the word that good to realize what is the truth or to discuss with them.
But this is how you learn. And it's so great that you're involved in the process. That's how you learn. My son is witnessing to a Muslim that he met when he was in Amman, Jordan. And he's doing that through Facebook, and they have this dialogue going on. And a lot of times it's very frustrating to him, but he recognizes in the process that he is learning, and he's becoming an ever sharper tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of reaching someone for time and for eternity. And his responsibility is not to convert anybody. His responsibility is to be a useful, faithful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes the heart. So here's what I would like to say to you. First of all, you need to realize that during the incarnation, when Jesus Christ came in flesh, he voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity. He took on the limitations of humanity. Now, he didn't divest himself of a single attribute of deity, but he did take on the limitations of humanity. And as a result of that, there certainly are times in which Jesus, not exercising his prerogatives as God, could say, from the perspective of his humanity, that he did not know the time of the judgment of Jerusalem. He couldn't tell you the exact time. Now, he did tell us this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled, but he could not tell the exact time and date and moment that that would happen, speaking from the perspective of his humanity. Obviously, speaking from the perspective of his divinity as God, he would know all things. Yeah. And this is where the Jehovah's Witness is confused, because they have a completely false view of who Jesus Christ was. In Watchtower theology, Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael. During his earthly sojourn, he became merely human. And then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. Now, that's completely false. From a biblical perspective, Jesus always is, has been, and will be God. The notion that he was the Archangel Michael is simply unbiblical, because Jesus received worship, and angels in Scripture do not receive worship. In fact, in Revelation, when John bows down to worship the angel who's showing him a vision, the angel says, "Don't do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Worship God." So worship belongs to God alone, and Jesus received worship because he was God and is God and always will be God.
Okay. If I can't come inside my heart to a conclusion whether the Trinity is right or wrong, should I get stuck on it? Should I let it hinder me, or should I just move on?
Well, no. I think you can come to a conclusion that the Trinity is correct. And the Trinity is not a biblical word, but it is a word that we use to communicate a biblical concept. You know that the Bible is very clear that there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you look at Isaiah 43, God called ancient Israel to know, believe, and understand the basic reality that before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. So there's only one God, and this is communicated emphatically in both the Old and New Testaments. But if you look at Scripture, you see that Jesus Christ is called God, the Father is called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God. And I'll give you a way to remember this. Ephesians 1, 3, 1 Peter 1, 3, and 2 Corinthians 1, 3. And the reason I'm giving you those particular addresses is because it makes it easier for you to remember. And in those passages, you will see that the Bible is declaring that the Father is God. Then the Son is declared God, and I'll make this easy for you as well. The first chapter of John, the first chapter of Colossians, the first chapter of Hebrews, and the first chapter of Revelation. So that makes it easy to remember as well. Okay, and then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is God. In fact, you see this over and over again in the book of Acts. So just remember the word Acts, because I'm going to use that right now as an acronym, a way through which you can remember some biblical passages in which you see that the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? The A in Acts will remind you of Acts 5, 4. And that's that famous passage where, after lying to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, Peter says to Ananias, "You have not lied to men, but to God." So Acts 5, 4. The C in Acts will remind you of 2 Corinthians 3:17. The T in Acts will remind you of Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1. And then the S in Acts will remind you of supplementary passages, passages like Psalm 139. Okay?
Okay.
So there you find that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all called God by Scripture. Now, I also said that what we believe as Trinitarian Christians is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So in other words, the Father does not become the Son in the incarnation, and the Son does not become the Holy Spirit after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are always eternally distinct. They were before the foundations of the world, and they are now. And we see this again in Scripture, and I'll make this as easy as ABC. The A stands for annunciation. To announce is the idea, where the angel announces to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Okay, that's Luke 1:35. We call that the Annunciation, A. B, we see all three again as distinct in the baptism of Jesus Christ. Remember, in the baptism of Jesus Christ as recorded in Luke 3:22, Jesus was being baptized, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke from heaven. So again, you see that they are eternally distinct in the baptism of Jesus Christ. And you also see this in the C. So I said the Annunciation, A, B, baptism, and C, commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus instructed his disciples to baptize believers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's Matthew 28:19. So throughout the Bible, we see instances of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loving one another, speaking to one another, glorifying one another. One thing is for certain, the Father never becomes the Son, as I said. The Son never becomes the Holy Spirit. They're clearly communicated by Scripture as being eternally distinct. So let's review real quickly. There are three planks in the Trinitarian theology. The first is there's only one God. The second is Scripture teaches the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And third plank, Scripture teaches Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. That's what a Trinitarian believes. Now, why do we believe that? Because we find that taught in Scripture. And again, here's a couple of words that you might want to consider. You can't comprehend that. Because God is infinite, you and I are just finite. We can't fully comprehend it, but we can apprehend it. Apprehend it means you can go to the Scripture and you can apprehend that this is what the Scripture is teaching. So we bow our knee before the majesty of God's revelation of Himself to us in Scripture. That's the point. Much more could be said. I love your question. Love the fact that you want to be prepared to witness. You hang on. I'll send you memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine. We'll send it out to you with our prayers that you will be used as a tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit to make a difference for time and eternity.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Adam, listening in Hollywood, California. Hi, Adam.
I have to commend you on your ability to do this day after day, year after year. I've been listening to you for a long time. My question was this. They say that there's like three great faiths, meaning Judaism, Christianity, and the Muslim faith. The big difficulty that I think Christians have is in their ability to witness to a Jewish person or a person of the Muslim faith and coming to, and you just had a discussion about the oneness and the Trinity and the oneness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like either the Jewish and the Muslims have it correct and they have a Unitarian view of God, that God is one person, or the Christians have it correct that it's a Trinitarian view of God, and a God is three persons. Moses and all the prophets got the revelation. They drilled it into the minds of the Jewish people for 4,000 years about the oneness of God. How does a Christian successfully overturn Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and how do we overturn that?
Well, we don't overturn that. The Jews were deeply committed to one God, but that one God was revealed in three persons. In the Old Testament, just as in the New, you have Jesus Christ as well as the Holy Spirit. If you look, for example, in Psalm 51, the great king of Israel, the quintessential king, we might say, of Israel, sins. He commits adultery as well as murder. And in Psalm 51, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me." Jesus Christ is foreshadowed through types in the Old Testament, and those shadows and types are fulfilled when he comes in the incarnation. So the Old and New Testament point to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Now, the Jews are looking for the incarnation of Messiah. I have a good friend in Israel. He's been my guide from time to time. And he says the difference between you and me is when Jesus comes, I'm going to say, is this your first trip or your second trip? So they're looking for a Messiah. Now, the Muslims are quite different. The Muslims are fiercely monotheistic in the sense that there is a transcendent God who does not reveal himself in time and space. In fact, the very...
with mankind, that
yes.
Has other beings or other angels or something that communicates, but God is transcendent and he can't even speak to man.
Exactly. And to assign partners to God, which is their version of what we're doing with respect to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is tantamount to the unforgivable sin of shirk. So they have a view in which Jesus Christ could not possibly be God. Now, the reason we accept the Bible as the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, the ultimate source for faith and practice, is because we can demonstrate that the Bible is an authority, and therefore we trust it. We demonstrate that it is an authority through the manuscript evidence, through archaeological evidence, through predictive prophecy, through the science of statistical probability, through scriptural synergism. We build a cumulative case that this is the Word of God and therefore can be trusted as an authority. You can't do the same thing with the Book of Mormon. You can't do it with the Quran. You can't do it without the corpus of God's teaching in full. The Old Testament prophets, however, they looked forward to the coming of Messiah. And from Genesis on, we have the proto-evangel in which a Messiah, a Redeemer, will come, through which we can be restored to right relationship with God. So there are all kinds of hints of Trinitarianism in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Isaiah 9:6, "The Son will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Psalm, I think it's 45, the Father says about the Son, "Your throne, O God, will last forever." So, over and over again, not only in New Testament language, but Old Testament language, we see the clear picture of a Messiah who will...
But that understanding is only true for a Christian, meaning that a Jewish person, you know, they're not able to go back and look at the Christian documents and say, okay, well, this is where Matthew quotes Isaiah, and Jesus quotes Isaiah. But for a Jewish person, they don't have that concept. They can't go back and look at their own scriptures and say, well, I see this, because it's only through Christian revelation that you understand it.
Okay, well, let's deal with that specifically.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, Adam, the people of God looked forward to the coming of God. And by the way, when I say people of God, true Israel in the Old Testament was not a genealogy or a...
No, it was a group of people. They all came out of Exodus. They were slaves and Hebrews and Ishmaelites and everybody.
Yep, that's right. Yes, if you look at Rahab, she was a Canaanite, Ruth a Moabite, and yet they were true Israel.
Considered Israel, correct.
Yeah, because they were brought into a system of civil and ceremonial laws that would look forward to a coming Messiah. So they looked forward to a coming Messiah through types and shadows. And if you look at what the New Testament says about this, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, he responded to the light that he had. He did not have the clear light, as you correctly point out, that we do looking backward at the cross. He looked forward.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses say that the light gets brighter and brighter, so be careful, though, because you have to go by what these guys understood at the time.
But my point...
You can't keep saying the Jehovah's Witnesses get away with that. Oh, well, yeah, we thought 1874 was going to be coming, but the light got brighter and brighter.
No.
Jehovah God made us more intelligent, and then we had the right answer.
Adam, this is obfuscation on their part for false prophecies. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a different category here. What we're talking about is Old Testament Jews looked forward to the coming of Messiah, but they did not have the light of the coming of Messiah because Messiah had not yet come. That's all I'm saying. So they looked forward to him through types and shadows, and they responded to the light that they had been given. And our Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, "Light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." When I'm talking about light, Adam, and I'm glad you're pushing me on this, when we're talking about light as Christians, we're talking about the light of creation, which is to say the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So as we look at the universe around us, we know that there is a creator. We also have the knowledge of God stamped upon the canvas of our consciousness, so that there is an inner light as well as an outer light.
And right, if we can't deny him because he gave everyone a conscience that knows that he exists.
Yes, yes. And so through the light, if we respond to it, we will receive more light. Now, Abraham doesn't have the light that you and I have. We live on the other side of the cross. So we have a very clear picture of redemption. But yet he responded through types and shadows, and we are told it was counted to him as righteousness. And Abraham, therefore, according to Paul in Romans 4, is the father of all who are saved.
Well, they said they all died in hope. So they had some kind of hope. They might have known exactly what
yes.
it was or who it was going to be, but I think Paul somewhere says they all died in hope.
Yes, yes.
Of the coming. Okay, we understand that the Christians teach that Jesus was and is now forever the God-man.
Yes.
Fully God, fully man, and that he had two natures, human nature, mm-hmm. fully man. He suffered, he thirsted, he cried, he was angry, he was upset, but he also they had the divine nature. He was omniscient. He was from eternity, and he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
When a question asked, they said, well, okay, well, how many wills did he have? We know that God has a will, right? Jesus prayed, Father, let your will take place. Let your will happen on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that Jesus had a will. He had a will as a human being. How many wills did Jesus have? Did he have one or two?
Well, again, it's really important that you're very precise in definitions of words, because it depends on if you define will in terms of person, as in one, or nature, as in two. If you don't define your terms, you end up in a linguistic hall of mirrors. Words are not univocal in language, they're equivocal. I can say can to you, and a can be a can of tuna, it can be the bathroom, it can be a prison cell. So you do have to define your terms. I mean, a Jehovah's Witness says that Jesus Christ is the Archangel Michael. A New Ager says that Jesus Christ is an avatar or a messenger. I, as a believer, say Jesus Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So it's not the word we use, it's the meaning we pour into that word. And oftentimes, particularly in theological terminology, we have to explain what we mean. And that's why I always explain what I mean and do not mean when I use the word person with respect to the Trinity. Gonna have to leave it at that. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.